Isaiah 42, 1 through 9, the New International Version. The servant of the Lord. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you into righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people, a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you.
Good morning. I want you to take notice of the stage and how well the decorations are. Suanne and Edie both have put in a lot of effort, and it looks nice if you've noticed the stairs. The nativity scene is gone. There's something there in its place. And there's a lot of care and effort put into not just those two. They go into making this place more welcoming, pleasant. So you get a chance, you might mention something to them, and I know they'll go, ah, but that's okay. You know, the joy of coming and being together is huge. I think Carol and Joe have received some emails this week, and I have two from Jeff and Paula, and they're having a wonderful trip. And the gist of what I got is they're learning how to slow down. It's, you know, when you go and fast and furious, and this is a change of pace for them. And it sounds like they're having a wonderful time there in the Azores. The first email that I remember seeing is, this is a small island. So, you know, continue to pray for them and their journey, and for the fact that they can kind of just decompress. They are caregivers to his parents. They've had a very large, heavy load, and it will come back when they come back here. So, you know, be praying for them and their time, and that it would be most enjoyable. If you would bow your heads. Loving God, as we are here today looking to you to fill us, looking to you to immerse yourself into us, I ask that you would take this message, that it is yours, that you would allow your words to come out of me, that your words would be heard by each one as each one needs to hear what you have to say. And God, I thank you and I praise you and I ask for your complete and total blessing in Christ's name. Amen. The baptism of Jesus, and you're going to think, I've read the story, and I'm glad you have, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more. But before we do, we're going to kind of lead into some things. Have you ever been praised all your life? Have you ever been praised for something you may have done, much like I just mentioned about the stage? I mean, that is praise, then it's worthy as far as I'm concerned. But have you managed a situation that people, maybe at work or in the neighborhood, that you took care of a problem or you worked it out and you received some praise for that or fixed a problem? I know a number of you in here are really good at fixing problems. Or have you been praised for maybe how you've treated others? Think in your mind if you've had that happen. Did this praise come from a coworker, maybe your spouse, a neighbor, a sibling? I had to kind of look around. Or from someone else? Did it have value? How did it make you feel? When you received the praise, was it, nope, I don't want to hear it, or thank you? And we've all experienced this at one degree or another. Have you received praise from a grandparent or from your mom or dad? Can you still hear their words? Now, I know I've talked about sometimes words a parent has said stick with you, and they're not the good kind. You've been told whatever. But have you ever received praise from a parent, from a mom or a dad? And have they affected you? Have you remembered those words? Is it a part of something that's who you are because of some of those words that were said to you maybe at an early age or right before a parent passed? Have they changed your life? And if so, how? You know, I'm sure my dad cared a great deal, but he wasn't real good about saying things like that. But my grandfather, who wasn't very good at that either, but I spent a lot of time with him before he died, the last 10 years of his life, and I got a lot of wisdom imparted into me from him. And it has made a difference. It made the difference in how I related to my dad. Laura, my wife, didn't have a father growing up. So when we were married and we had two girls, and the things that I would say in a positive manner, I could see she was watching and she was hearing, because these were things she'd never experienced. She was living vicariously through our daughters. Some of you are in the same situation. You never knew a father, and it's impacted you at one point or another. And I don't mean to say this to put you in a down. I want you to be upbeat. I want you to think and be positive, because each one of us has received praise at some point in some manner. I will probably go off the rail here, but I was sitting here thinking, knowing Sue Ann's dad, I could just almost imagine him going, that's my daughter up here reading. That's my girl. And how excited and how wonderful it would have made him feel. And he would have shared it. That's because he loved his family. Today is the first Sunday in the season of Epiphany. And you go, what in the world's Epiphany? But that's the season we're in on the calendar. A season of manifestation. That's kind of a term for Epiphany, and that doesn't define it a whole lot more in my mind. So I looked it up. Manifestation is to make evident or certain by showing or displaying. So this is a season that we are going to be very intentional about showing or displaying. And it's a season where we will drill down into or go into stories from Jesus' life. We're going through a time of Epiphany, and today we start with his life. And we're going to start with the baptism of Jesus. And you can all remember, you've read the story, you know about John, you know about the dove. But we're going to take the four verses from Matthew and kind of drill down into those. There's a lot more in the story. Now, I am using a translation that is not one you grew up with. And there's a reason I'm doing that, because if I'm reading something that you've read over and over and over, it's real easy for your mind to check out. You can almost read it in your mind, along. This forces you to think of it a little differently. There will be times we will go back to the NIV for one or different ones that we're more familiar with. But there's some intentionality into why I'm choosing, and this is the Passion Translation. It's somewhat of a paraphrase, but it gives the story in a different flow. Same story. Picking it up in verse 13 from chapter 3, and we will go through the four verses of 3 through 17. Then Jesus left Galilee to come to Jordan to be baptized by John. But when he waded into the water, John resisted him, saying, "Why are you doing this? I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, and yet you come to be baptized by me?" Jesus replied, "It's only right to do all that God requires." Then John baptized Jesus, and as Jesus rose up out of the water, the heavenly realm opened up over him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend out of the heavens and rest upon him in the form of a dove. Then suddenly the voice of the Father shouted from the sky, saying, "This is the Son I love, and my greatest delight is in him." What can we learn from this glorious event? Is it just words? Did you do a mental picture as I was reading this? Did you picture the body of water there in the Jordan River? Did you picture John, who was under the Nazarite vow where he didn't cut his hair? He was wild. He was kind of scruffy dude. Did you picture him? Did you picture the heavens opening? Can you imagine what that would have looked like? And to see the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove coming down. Did you picture that? Did you hear what God the Father said? Some takeaways from that. Some things to think about. John preached in the wilderness, and people came to where he was. They came out to where he was preaching. Jesus came out to where he was preaching. Because Jesus takes the initiative to go or to come to John. He doesn't wait for John to come to him and to seek him out. Jesus is taking that initiative. Jesus comes to us where we are in our wilderness. You ever thought about that? Does that fit in this story? Yes, it does. In our lives, wherever we have been, wherever that existence was, did you seek God? Did you start that process? Was that something that you knew to do, that, okay, when I reach whatever age you picked, it's time for me to go seek God? I don't think so. Somebody was knocking on your heart, putting people in your way, causing conversations to happen in your wilderness, whatever you want to define that as. Well, John resisted. When the call was first given to you for using that term, in the wilderness, did you resist, or would you say, "Yeah, I've been waiting a whole life for this. This is what I'm ready for"? Or was there some resistance, some pushback and go, "I don't think so," or "Not now"? That's kind of the same picture. We resisted, but what has happened? God has responded with grace. And where are you today? Experiencing his grace. All because he didn't give up. He didn't say, "I get it. You don't want any part of me. I'll leave you alone." Now, he may have left you, but He kept things rolling in front of you. The opportunity was always there for you to, oh yeah, I get it now. Is this really happening? John said, no, I'm not worthy of it. But Jesus, in his conversation with him, said, it's okay, I get it. I need to be baptized. The baptism of Jesus shows the importance of being immersed in God. You think, immersed in God. That's what baptism is about. The Greek word for baptismo, to baptize, carries the meaning to dip, or to immerse, or to die. Now, I have never personally dyed clothes, but I'm sure some of you have. I think maybe back in my youth, there was the tie-dye that we did all the psychedelic colors with rubber bands and goofy things and t-shirts that looked all hideous. But to dye is to immerse. Like a piece of cloth soaked and saturated in a vat of dye. And I don't remember the movie, but I have this image of this huge vat of clothes, and they were dyeing the cloth. And they had big poles that would lift the cloth up, and no, it's not ready. So totally and completely changing the color. The cloth so penetrated with what it was immersed in that it shares the same qualities. Can you think maybe where this is going? If Jesus is immersed in you at baptism, do you think maybe some of his qualities are also immersed in you? The cloth is so penetrated with what it is immersed in that it shares those qualities. Jesus comes in the incarnation, Father, Son, and Spirit, and immerses himself into our sinful flesh. Baptism is that inclusion with the triune God. That is a connecting. That is forever a bond. We are included in Jesus' baptized life with the Father in the Spirit. Does that make sense? Do you picture your baptism of being that inclusion with the triune God? Now, when you were baptized, were you magically changed? Were you the same person in some ways that walked out of the baptismal pool?
Yeah.
But you have qualities in you that were immersed, that have developed, that have grown, that have changed you. It wasn't overnight, but it continues. The process is not over. It's continuing to be a part of who you are. Go back to verse 16. As Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened. And I can only, I can't even imagine what that would have looked like to have this viewing totally into the heavens. I don't think it was just the clouds parting. Scripture says the heavens opened. The Spirit of God descending like a dove. Now, this also gives some Old Testament references or refers back to creation, where the Spirit hovered over the earth in the creation. This was a kind of a connecting point. You go back to the flood, and what did Noah see coming back with a green limb or leaf? A dove. Again, the imagery of the Spirit of God in the form of a dove coming to change life, to rescue, to provide for us. And the voice from heaven speaks. Remember what the voice said? Then suddenly, the voice of the Father shouted from the sky, saying, "This is the Son I love. My greatest delight is in him." What if your dad said that to you? What would you feel like? Would you feel like you could conquer about anything? That you would be recipient of the best praise that you knew, especially as a child? For Dad to say that about me? And this is the words he said. Jesus is baptized for our sake. Did Jesus need to be baptized? He didn't sin, but he was human. Fully God, fully human. Did he need to be baptized? Yes, he did. Or he wouldn't have done it. It is a process that opened the entire process for us to be connected with him. He modeled what it is. He is baptized for his sake? No, for our sake, because he loves us. He went through, and that was a process. And he felt the magnitude of what that was and how important it was to all of humanity was for him to start that process of baptism. We can hear the Father's voice speaking not only to his Son, and I want you to hear this, but also to us as adopted children. And we are, and we've gone through that numerous times. We can again, but not today. We are adopted children of God. So those words that he said apply just as much to us. Have you felt like that you have been praised by the very God of the universe? You have. As adopted children of God, these words definitely apply to us. The first thing he says to each of us, "This is my child. This is my son, but as an adopted, this is my child." We are children of God. He is saying that to us. How many young children's hearts are filled with joy simply by hearing their father say, "That's my boy. That's my girl." That changes lives. That changes your perspective. That changes everything that is about you. That changes. And if you had a human father that said it, praise God. But you have a heavenly father that says it every day. And put your name in. If you're male, put in there, "That's my son, Joe. That's my son, Terry. That's my daughter, Joy. That's my daughter, Edie." Put your name in there because that's where it applies. That changes life. The second thing the Father says to us, "Whom I love." He is saying to you and me that he loves us in the same way he loves his own son, Jesus. Pretty lofty love, isn't it? To have the Father equate his love for you with Jesus. All in this four verses from Matthew. The final thing the Father says to you and to me today is, "With him I am well pleased." With you, I am well pleased. We're adopted children of God, so these words apply to us. When you have gone through the process of baptism, it was an outward sign, but it was reflective of God's love in you. It's one thing to belong. It's another thing to be loved. Do you feel loved? And there's days that I don't. There's days that there's not much here to love as far as my perspective. I've looked in the mirror. But God says, I love you. You are special to me. I am proud of you. I want you to be with me, to be in that relationship with me. The story of Jesus' baptism is for all of us. We are adopted children of God. He has included us in that relationship. You and I, we belong to God. He loves us, and he is pleased with you and you and you. Put your name up there. You and I, we belong to God. He loves all of us. And he is pleased with Randy, Pat, Rhonda, Sue Ann. He's pleased with us. Take that when you leave today. Go through and look at the story of Jesus' baptism. Read through this and see how it applies to you. There is a multitude of things we didn't have time to cover in these four verses. But don't leave without realizing and knowing and sharing that love with God. Jesus has immersed himself in you. You have the very qualities of Jesus in you. Allow that immersion to expand. Reach out to others. If you think and you believe the value of being that close with the triune God, isn't that something that you want to share? Or is it something you put a basket over? No. And I'm not saying go out here and stand on the corner and preach to everybody that you can flag down. But you live every day of your life allowing Jesus to speak through you. It could be at a family reunion. It could be at the grocery store, a place of work, school. It may be in your own house. God loves us, and he is pleased with us. If you'd bow your head. Father God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the story that we have covered of four verses of the baptism of Jesus, the value that it has had and will continue to have, to be included in that immersion of you. God, we thank you. Certainly, I ask for each one to individually reflect on their life with you. God, this is not about the group. This is about each one of us. And as you love each one of us, thank you for sharing us, for adopting us into your family. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.